listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? Well, you're not doing well if you're Simona Halep after today's women's final, where Halep, seeking the number one ranking, seeking her first Grand Slam title, has the finish line seemingly in sight. Up a set, up 3-love, and has 3 break points to go up a set and 4-0. And from that point, she left the door wide open for Yelena Ostapenko, who was more than happy to bash it down to the tune of 54 winners, alongside 54 unforced errors. And you compare that to Halep's 8 winners and 10 unforced errors. Those are clearly the 2 stats you need to take away from this match. And a match that I'll remember for quite a long time, I think. No matter what Ostapenko does or does not do for the rest of her career, you know, we saw last year at the French Open that Garbin Muguruza, you know, stormed on to the title, had a struggle since then. It, to me, this performance from Ostapenko, who went on to win the match 4-6, 6-4, 6-3, an hour 59 minutes, a power 2-hour display. This is one that no matter what she does for the rest of her career, I'm going to remember it. That's the first instinct you get, or the first reflex take you get after these is, oh, you know, what, you know, could be the first of many, or we'll see her again for sure. We don't know that necessarily. We don't know it for sure, not even necessarily. But, I just think it was such a unique performance on such a big stage for such a young player that it's going to be, barring a career that turns out to be one of the all-time greats, this is what she is going to be remembered for, no matter how good or bad she does, good or not as good as she does going forward. I'm just still kind of in awe of it. It's about just about an hour after the final ended. And just to, from the first, I believe the first and last points of this match were backhand winners by Ostapenko. They both might have been backhand return winners, in fact. The story was clearly her ability to really expose Halep's lack of serving strength, and just to be able to dig, there was almost no easy games for Halep this whole way around. For Ostapenko, it's not as if her serve was demonstrably better either. It certainly was better than Halep's, but what she was able to do was test Halep literally every minute of the way of this match, and never got off that. That was just constant pressure that was, paid dividends in the end, of course. A lot of this will fall on Halep, and I think rightfully so. Something that many people on Twitter were talking about over the match was how at a set and 3-0 up, it seemed as if she lost her way a little bit mentally, where, she tossed a racket to the court, just really found that it was not a necessary time of the match to have that undo her. And that's interesting for a couple of reasons. One is because that was such a storyline coming into this match with her and her coach, Darren Cahill, how she was able to get past that, mature a little bit possibly was the verb that was tossed around. And she showed that throughout the first 6 matches of this event, particularly against Elena Svitolina when she came back from a set and 1-5 down to win. And the other thing that's interesting to me is that the other storyline coming into this French Open for Halep was her physicality and whether that would be what would undo her despite a really great clay court season. And, physically, of course, she doesn't have the powerful shots anywhere close to what Ostapenko does, but you could certainly say that it was, a mental cave too, in certain respects. I mean, not only was she up a set in 3-0 with 4-0 seemingly in the balance. I actually, if I recall correctly, the broadcast was about to turn to commercial with Halep to go up 4-0, but a call was looked at closely. It was a late call. I mean, it was that close to being ostensibly over. It is really hard to picture, though not impossible, Halep dropping this from a set 4-0 up. But she was not only up in that set, she was up 3-1 in the third as well. And in both cases, Ostapenko ran off four game runs, or put together four game wins in a row that were clearly enough to turn this in her favor. And she did it in some of the most breathtaking ways possible. I mean, in this baseline era on both the men's and women's tours, where winners are, they're in some ways with the rackets and strings, they are easier than ever to come by. But with the defensive, tactics employed by so many from the baseline and the ability to get to so many balls, you almost see, ironically, less winners than you had before. But not today. I mean, this was, if you're looking for, and it was, it was under 2 hours, the match too. If you're looking for sort of tennis to be decisive, Ostapenko might be someone you want to follow for a while. She went for it in return. She, really any opening, and especially down the line too. I thought the majority of her winners were actually down the line, forehands or backhands. She got some great angles off from parts of the court where you would not expect them to be open to. I love the swing tube from her, especially on the backhand side. It's not as if she is like putting everything in her body to get into the ball. I think the mechanics and the timing of her shot is just impeccable. And, it was that backhand that ended the match. It just brilliantly. And, by the end, I could only be left to say just wow, because it was a stunning comeback. Certainly a stunning fall from Halep, who, this is going to be an incredibly tough one to live down. It'll follow her for a while, but the match, for a much different reason, is going to follow Ostapenko too. And I'm very excited to see what she does going forward. I mean, I'll give you the obligatory looking ahead take, is that, she is a former Wimbledon junior champion. So we'll see what, how she does the All England Club. I'm going to be going there for a little bit this year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her in person. She'll be now move into the top 20, I believe. And another point, because of the result of this match, of all people, Angelique Kerber, who 2 weeks ago to the day, a little less than 2 weeks, I forgot, she lost an opening Sunday, not a Saturday. She will remain number one, as incredible as that sounds, despite all the results here. But it's, this is Ostapenko's day. Clearly, this is her fortnight. It's, as you've probably heard, this is her first title of any sort on the pro tour. And she earned it the hard way. She lost, I believe, four opening sets on her way to the title. And inexperience did not, prove to be a detriment to her. It probably in many ways was a positive, in that she did not have the expectations, was really probably the underdog in almost every match against the seed, sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop of her not having been in this moment. But I think the sort of reverse cliche of that is that, because of that, you don't realize the stakes. I think that certainly helped her too. I mean, things are going to be different now for Ostapenko, and, she's earned it with really just a remarkable performance, a great women's final, and, I can only hope that tomorrow's men's final featuring Rafa and Stan, lives up to it in some ways. So wanted to get that in quickly before we move on to the next match and the final match of Roland Garros, which we'll cover on the Tennis in 10 podcast. Au revoir.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.